right, day 43. We are hanging out in the Gospel of John again today. We are in chapters 13 through 17 and 19 through 21, so a little bit more reading today.
Yeah. Is it weird that yesterday was three chapters and today is like eight?
Yeah.
I don't know. Somebody didn't think that through very well. That somebody may have been me. My bad. But, these things are not unusual for us, right? We start off in 13 with a story we know well, Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. And so we don't need to get into that too much, except to want to realize a couple things that we've probably said before, but just to hone in on, this was the job of the lowest slave in the house, right? It was the host's responsibility to provide this, and it was the job of the lowest slave because it was gross and disgusting to wash somebody's feet. In those days, walking, and I know we think, oh, they were dusty and dirty. Yeah, and then there's camel dung, and there's sheep everywhere, and so you got sheep poop crammed between your toes, and it's all, and you're like, hey, let me stick my foot in your face while we eat dinner, because they reclined at the table, and so the servant would wash the feet. Nobody does it because it's such a gross job and it's the job of the lowest servant. And what are these disciples? What have they done countless times? They've argued about who the greatest is. Mm-hmm. And I love this, that Jesus just shows them that to be great, you have to follow. Mm-hmm. And Peter kind of freaks out on him a little bit. He's like, you'll never wash my feet. And Jesus is like, well, if I don't wash your feet, you can't have any part of me. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, well, wash everything. But basically Jesus showing them, and he tells them later, do likewise, right? You see what I've done. I've loved you. I've served you. Servant leadership, servant love. Do likewise for each other. And then he gives them some teaching as they sit at the table. And one of those things, he's like, hey, somebody's going to betray me. And then Peter, you're going to deny me. But there's a progression here I want people to see. That's so cool that happens in John 14. He tells Peter, you're going to deny me, disown me three times. And then what's the first thing he says in John 14? Don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I'm going to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you can be where I am. And I love this picture, right? Because he's saying, guys, it's going to be bad. Somebody's going to kill me. You're all going to run away from me. Peter, you're going to deny that you even know me. But it's going to be okay. Believe in me, just like you believe in God. Trust me. I promise you there is something good coming. And it's just this great picture. And then he goes into this, you know, he talks about, I'm the way to get to God. I'm the way. This we all know this famous little chunk here of I'm the way, the truth, the life. Nobody gets to God except through me. This is John, or Jesus is saying that to the disciples, because Thomas says, I don't know how to get where you're going. He says, yes, you do. I'm going to the Father, and you know how to get there because you just got to go through me. Right? This is another one we say, like when people are like, oh, it doesn't matter what God you believe in. It doesn't matter who you believe in. You can believe in Muhammad. You can believe in Jesus. You can believe in Buddha. As long as you're sincere, we would say, well, no, Jesus clearly says no. He says, I am the way, the truth, the life. Nobody gets to God unless they come through me. And so, and he says, when I go, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And he says, it's actually better that I go so that you can have the Holy Spirit. Well, how is that better? Well, he says, because God with you is good, but God in you is better. And the Holy Spirit will live in you. And that's better than me being close to you. And he tells them, and if you want to be powerful in your faith, you've got to stay connected to me. In chapter 15, he talks about abiding in me. He uses the analogy of vine and branches. If you've ever like had a vine on a trellis that gets severed, it'll look okay for a minute, but it'll wither and die because it's not connected. He says, you want to be fruitful. You've got to abide in me. And that's going to be hard. I love the way he progresses through this. It'll be hard because the world's going to hate you. Mm-hmm. Why will the world hate you? Well, he's like, why wouldn't the world hate you? The world hates me. And if you're following me and you're talking about me, then they're going to hate you too. So, like, hey, newsflash, Christians, like, when persecution happens because you love Jesus, that's not a surprise. Jesus said that would happen. It doesn't mean it's not working. It means it's happening exactly like Jesus predicted that it would happen. And then he talks about us being unified in the Spirit. He prays for God to be glorified. He prays for the disciples to be unified and for all of the believers to be one. And so it's just this great picture of Jesus's heart. He's about to go to crucifixion, mm-hmm. but his heart is still for us. It's like, don't let your heart be troubled. I'm going to wash your feet. I'm going to teach you. And I'm gonna remind you to stay rooted in me, because then you'll do great things. And yes, you'll mourn that I'm gone, but God's gonna send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, and that's good, and that's better for you. And so it's great picture. And we skip ahead to chapter 19, and we start to talk about the crucifixion, the horrific things that Jesus goes through as he's on the cross, and he recognizes that all the power that the Pharisees have, that Pilate has, that anybody has over him, is power that has been given to them by God. They're not innocent of what they're doing, but Jesus is clearly saying, yes, you're not innocent of what you're doing, but you're only allowed to do this because God is allowing you to do this. If God wanted something different would happen. There's this weird little statement that happens in chapter 19 where he says to his mother and to John, his kind of his best buddy, he says, hey, woman, here's your son. And then he says to John, hey, here's your mother. Basically, like, even while he's hanging on the cross, his heart for his own mother's welfare is rich and full. And so he wants her to be cared for, which is interesting because he has brothers. Mm-hmm. He has brothers. You know what the thing is, though? At this point in time, his brothers don't believe in him. Mm-hmm. So he knows that his mom is going to need connection to somebody that knows who he was and trusted who he was. Luckily, later, Jude and James and at least those two, if not all of them, come to faith in Jesus. Mm-hmm. But right now they don't. And so he's making sure her spiritual welfare is taken care of.
Yeah.
And we read about the empty tomb and all of these things. So there's just some really awesome things as we read through John.